Beginning of this parsha, Parshas Lech Lecha. We're told about Avram Avinu's trial, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him, Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Lech Lecha, Mei Artzach, Mei Oladetach, Mei Beit Avich, El Artz Asher Eka. You, Avram, are to leave, Lech Lecha. You're to go for yourself from everything you know, from everything you're familiar with. Rashi explains that this unique language of Lech Lecha, walk for yourself, is because you're going to Eretz Yisrael, is for your benefit. But Rashi uses two words, letovatcha ulehana'atcha, for your goodness and for your benefit. Many explain how these two words are often not found in the same place. There are many things in life which a person can easily understand that they're tov, that they're their own good. When a person takes medicine when they're sick, so that medicine, which might taste terrible, they might gain no physical benefit from it, but they could easily understand how it's for their own good. On the other hand, you have certain things, unhealthy foods, that might taste great. You might feel the hana'ah, the benefit. But at the same time, they're not for your own good. Yet here Avram Avinu is told to go to Eretz Yisrael, litovatcha ulehana'atcha, that you're going to Eretz Yisrael will be good for you. And at the same time, it will be beneficial. It will be the best thing you could do for yourself. And you're going to feel that benefit. At first glance, this is a wild thing to say. As the pasuk itself continues, Avram Avinu is leaving everything familiar to him. He's leaving his birthplace, his land, his father's home. He's leaving everything he knows for a land he doesn't even know where it is. Ela aretz asher ha'eka, the land which God says that he will show him. How could that be for his own good? If we look at this event in context, and we put it in a context which is also very connected to the world we live in, so we might be able to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant by this trial of Lech Lecha, and at the same time we might understand how the trial itself, the trial of Avram, a trial that many Jews will have throughout the generations, is not only a trial to physically come to the land of Israel, to leave one's birthplace and everything they know, but it's also a trial to come to Eretz Yisrael and feel the Tovatcha Olanatcha, and feel that Eretz Yisrael is for your own good and for your own benefit, even when circumstances seem to dictate otherwise. Let's look at this event in context. Although here we're told about Hashem's first speaking to Avram, we're told about Avram at the end of last week's Parsha. And in fact, the end of last week's Parsha, before the lineage, what we're told about is Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Bavel. This Tower of Bavel is what can be seen as a crime, some type of sin, that is completely opposite of a sin a number of generations earlier. During the time of Noach, the world is destroyed through a flood for one very simple reason. The Torah is very explicit, Vatimalei ha'aretz chamas. All the crimes against humanity are put together in this term, chamas. Chamas, total breakdown of all society. People are stealing from another. People are, there is no unity. There is total separation, and therefore the goal of humanity, why Hashem created the world, could not be fulfilled. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Noach and his family and decides we're going to start the world again. A number of generations later is Migdal Bavel. Migdal Bavel is the opposite crime. Here man is united. Vayihi kol ha'aretz shafa achat u'dvarim achadim. The whole world is united with one language and one goal. Now if you look at the psukim themselves, the psukim are not explicit what exactly their plan was and whether it really was a crime. However, one thing is clear, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu overturns their plan, because their plan was not in line with HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. They had taken a world with technological advancement. They had taken a world of unity. But the purpose of that unity and technological advancement was seemingly not to further the goals of godliness in the world, but to detract from them. Very possibly, it was to build a tower in order to say we don't need God. Or, possibly even to build a tower in order to display that we can even battle God. And therefore, once again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that the world's purpose will not be realized with unity and technological advancement that is against the purpose of the world. And therefore, if the whole world can't do it on its own, there's going to be need to be one individual, One individual is going to come and rise to the occasion to bring the world to what Sefanya Hanavi says will be the ultimate turnaround. Ki az hefoch el amim safa brura lekro kulam b'shem Hashem la'avdo shchem echad. The goal is that the world will come to be able to recognize the oneness of God through safa brura, through one clear language. However, that wasn't going to happen without one nation who would go and do so. That one nation who would lead the cause, without one nation who would be Kore B'Shem Hashem, who would call out in the name of God and explain to the world who God really is. And that nation was none other than the nation of Avram. Who is this Avram? So we're told at the end of last week's parsha about Avram's father, Terach. And Avram has two brothers. One of them dies in Ur Kasdim. And the Torah is not explicit about what exactly happened in Avram Avinu's sojourn in Ur Kasdim. However, it's clear that even his father Terach decided to get out of Ur Kasdim. Something in Ur Kasdim was wrong. The Midrashim expound and explain how Avram Avinu, who was chosen, but the Torah never tells us why. The Torah never says, Va'Avram Atzachin b'nei Hashem. Similar to what it tells us about Noach, it never tells us that Avram is a tzaddik, tamimaya bedorotav. It tells us only that Avram Avinu is chosen. And he's clearly chosen for a reason. But the Torah tells us not that. The Midrashim expound. And the Midrashim expound that obviously Avram Avinu, as conceived from later, was a special individual. And Avram was willing to put himself on the opposite side of the river of everybody else. And Avram Avinu was willing to teach the message of godliness to a world that at first was hostile. And Ur Kasdim, in the language the Midrash describes, that Avram Avinu was even thrown into the fiery furnace. Avram Avinu's life was at stake. And even Terach, the father of Avram, decided it's good to leave Ur Kasdim. The Psukim even tell us that Terach planned on leaving to go to Eretz Yisrael. Some explain that Terach was really going with his son after his son received what we're told at the beginning of this week's parsha, the word of God, in order to move to the land of Israel. However, the Sforno Chizkuni explained differently. Even Terach, for his non-religious reasons, recognize the need to go to Eretz Yisrael. Go to Eretz Canaan. Sforno explains because after the Mabul, so the three children of Noach divided the world, Shem, Ham, and Yafet. And the land of Eretz Yisrael came in the portion of Shem. And therefore Terach said, we are descendants of Shem, we should be going to Eretz Canaan, the land that belongs to us. The Chizkuni says that he also recognized the unique power of the land. Something special. The Mabul, according to many sources based upon a pasuk in Yechezkel, did not affect the land of Israel. There was something special. Special quality about it that even an idol worshiper like Terach could recognize. However, Terach left Ur Kasdim and there was good reason to leave because there were threats against the family. But Terach stayed in Haran. Terach died in Haran, as the last pasuk in Parshat Noach tells us. But for some reason, Avram Avinu stayed in Haran as well. I'd like to venture to say that Avram Avinu stayed in Haran for a very simple reason. Because when Avram Avinu came to Haran, he was welcomed with open arms. Unlike Ur Kasdim, which was hostile to his message. Here, Avram Avinu was making Balei Tshuva one after another. How do we know this? Because even when Avram Avinu comes to Eretz Yisrael, there are many people. V'esha nefesh asher asu b'Haran. There are many souls that Avram Avinu made in Haran who come up with Avram Avinu. They come to Eretz Yisrael. Avram Avinu in Haran was the greatest kiruv worker in all of history at that time. And if you read the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, where he describes these events of Avram Avinu's early life, it would seem that he was the greatest kiruv worker of all time. Avram Avinu affected thousands, ten thousands. So why did Avram Avinu not move to the land of Israel? Because Avram Avinu saw that that spiritual message that he was trying to convey was so easily accepted where he was in Chutz Lartz. But then Avram Avinu is faced with the word of God, where Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I want you to leave everything. And I want you to leave everything with these words of Lech Lecha, which are going to be said a little bit later. Lech Lecha means to do something that all of your spiritual logic says otherwise. If you want to affect the world, realize in Eretz Yisrael first, it's not going to be so easy. Because when you're going to be going to Eretz Yisrael, people around you are going to know that you're coming to reclaim your land. After all, The other nations, they've hardly been there. Through Dor HaMabul, no one was there. Afterwards, in Dor HaFlaga, a few generations earlier at most, all the nations were in Shinar, all the nations were in Babylon, and only then they were separated. And therefore, when people know and you're coming with the word of God, they know you're coming to stay. And therefore, Avraham Avinu, your message is not going to be easily accepted there. They know you're coming as a descendant of Shem to reclaim your land. As the Psukim describe, Vaknani az ba'aretz, the Knaani were then in the land. The Knaani who were descendants of Ham were even trying to conquer the land from the descendants of Shem. Realize, from a spiritual perspective, you will not be as successful a kiruv worker in Eretz Yisrael. But go anyway. And go with the recognition that this is litovatcha ulahanatcha. This is for your good and this is for your benefit, even though you're not going to see it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues, realize that v'nivrechu v'cha kol mishpachot ha'adama. Then even though you might not be able to see it now, the entire world is going to be affected. The entire world is going to be blessed by your coming to the land of Israel. Avraham Avinu undergoes a test. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Asara nisyonos nisnase Avraham Avinu. Avraham our forefather, was tested with 10 tests. The Mefarshim ask two questions. Number one, why are some of these tests, what we would normally consider tests, why are these tests unique to Avraham Avinu? If after all, if you think about it, Avraham Avinu is not the only person to ever be tested with leaving his land and everything familiar with him in order to come to the land of Israel. And secondly, the Mefarshim asks, why is it that the Mishnah goes out of its way to refer to Avram here not only as Avram, but as Avram Avinu, Avram our forefather? The previous Mishnah, which talked about the 10 generations from Noach until Avram, only mentioned Asara Dorot Minoach ad Avram, did not refer to him as Avram Avinu. What's the reason for the difference? The reason for the difference, the Mefarshim explain, already in the Tosos Yontif, Avram Avinu she'anu zochim mekablim tova b'schuso zeh she'amdu b'chonis yonosav. Because we as descendants of Avram benefit from Avram Avinu's passing of these 10 tests. And he says, therefore, lefika karu atana bekan Avinu. Merely. It seems to me that that's the reason why the Tana, the author of this Mishnah, goes out of his way to tell us that Avram Avinu underwent these tests. The Ruach Chaim, Rav Chaim Yivalazhin, goes even further. And he says, some of these tests, where we see other people throughout time being able to engage in the same test and to succeed, that's all through the strength of Avram Avinu. Had Avram Avinu not moved to the land of Israel, had he not left his birthplace, and let's add, he didn't leave Ur Kasdim, he didn't leave a place to come to Eretz Yisrael as a political asylum because there was a threat against his life. He came from Haran, a place where his message was accepted, where he had the greatest kiruv operation the world has ever known. But he came to follow the word of God, to come to the land of Israel, lahanatcha l'tovatcha, for his benefit and for his goodness, even when it was hard to see. Because that's what Hashem told him. Every Jew, says Reb Chaim Volozhin, who will ever move to the land of Israel, amidst prosperity in Chutz La'aretz, amidst spiritual prosperity in Chutz La'aretz, will be acting as a descendant of Avraham Avinu. What does this mean? So one of the ways I understand this is based upon a story which appears in Lahavdil, Chicken Soup for the Soul. The original Chicken Soup for the Soul tells a story about a 1989 8.2 earthquake which flattened Armenia. And there was a man who brought his son to school on that very day. He brought his little son, and after realizing that he was okay after the earthquake, went to the school where his son was. And all he saw was a pile of debris. And it looked hopeless. But he had a commitment to his son that nothing would ever happen to his son that he would not help him. And therefore, the story goes that he began to look to find a place in the school which was full of debris where his son would most likely be. And he started digging. And people said, what are you doing? There's no help. There's no hope. The building has been flattened. And his father said, are you going to help me? If not, just don't disturb me. And he continued to dig. and dig and dig and dig. The policeman tried to remove him. He said, "Are you going to help me? If not, get away." And he continued to dig. And I'll read from you, for you, from Chicken Soup for the Soul, what happened in the end. It says as follows. He dug for 8 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours. Then in the 38th hour, he pulled back a boulder and heard his son's voice. He screamed his son's name, "Armand!" He heard back, "Dad, it's me, Dad. I told the other kids not to worry. I told them that if you were alive, you'd save me, and when you saved me, they'd be saved. You promised. You said that no matter what, I'll always be there for you. You did it, Dad." The father asked, "What's going on in there? How is it?" He said, "There are 14 of us left out of 33. Dad, we're scared, hungry, thirsty, and thankful you're here. When the building collapsed, it made a wedge like a triangle, and it saved us." "Come out, boy," the father said. "No, Dad. Let the other kids out first. Because I know you'll get me. No matter what, I know you'll be there for me." The story of a father with a commitment to his child is a story of a father with commitment to his children. Children he never met. Where Avraham Avinu at this point in time had no children. Where Avraham Avinu was told that this land will be given to your descendants, and he's told, "Go, it's for your own benefit," and Avraham Avinu had nothing. Nothing to say for it. How could it be? That was a tremendous, tremendous test. And anyone who leaves Chutz Laaretz, anyone who leaves a diaspora community, any religious figure, any educator who leaves with the knowledge that being able to reach the same level of chinuch and educational opportunities in Eretz Yisrael that you can reach in Chutz Laaretz, that he'll be able possibly to provide the same system of education for his children that he's so familiar with from Chutz Laaretz, the chances of him doing it in Eretz Yisrael might be slim. But anyone to come and follow the word of God based upon that is only through Avram Avinu, through Avram our forefather acting on our behalf and doing everything he possibly could in order to save us. And if you look afterwards, you find that Avram Avinu, chances are, put his sights not on having physical children. He was already old and did not have any. But Avram Avinu put his sights on his nephew, his protege. When he comes to the land of Israel, he takes Lot with him. And at this point, it seems that Lot is a card-carrying member of his family. Avram Avinu continues on. Vayera Hashem al Avram. After Avram Avinu goes through Eretz Yisrael, he goes to Makom Shechem. You know where Makom Shechem is? Makom Shechem is where Yosef is buried. Is where Yosef's tomb last week was burned to the ground by enemies of the Jewish people. But Avram Avinu, only after he goes there, and he recognizes Haknanias Bards, he recognizes that there are foreigners in the land who are trying to take the land from the true owners, from the descendants of Shem. It's only there that Vayera Hashem al Avram. It's only there, explained the Mefarshim, that Hashem appears to Avram. And he says, "Don't worry, this land is yours. You see the threat around you? It doesn't look letovat cho la'anat cho. It doesn't look for your benefit. Do not be scared." Vayomer lezaracha atenes ha'aretz hazot. And then, after that promise that your children will inherit this land, Avram Avinu builds a mizbeach. And Avram Avinu continues his message. Vayiven Shami goes to Beit El. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. And he calls out in the name of God. Avram said, "It might have been easier in Chutz Laaretz. I might have known the language. I might have known the people. I might have known the culture. But I'm going to do it in Eretz Yisrael as well. I'm not afraid. I'm going to do it in Eretz Yisrael." And he continues the message. However, right afterwards, Avram Avinu is faced with another test. You know, if you look at the Mefarshim and the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, about the 10 tests of Avram, the Mishnah does not tell us what these 10 tests were. And many of the Mefarshim explain the tests based upon Midrashim. However, if you look at the Rambam, despite the fact that he accepts all these Midrashim in his Perush, in his commentary, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, where he describes Avram Avinu's history, he says there are 10 tests which appear in the Torah itself. And these tests and tests of Avram Avinu for sure was tested numerous times in life. But there are 10 tests, says the Rambam, that appear in the Torah itself. The first is Lech Lecha, to leave his land and to recognize its goodness, even when everything seems to dictate otherwise. But the second test is where Avram Avinu has to leave Eretz Yisrael so soon afterwards. Avram Avinu comes to the land of Israel, and there's a famine in the land. And this famine in the land really leads Avram to question something so basic. Is this the land that I was sent to? Now, what was the test? If you look at the Ramban describes that Avram Avinu actually did something wrong. Vidaki Avram Avinu chata chet gadol biskaga. Avram Avinu sinned accidentally, not on purpose, by bringing his wife into this thing, into this difficult situation when going down to Mitzrayim, and for not believing, for not having the confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would save him. However, if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains a little bit differently. The test seems to be, according to Rashi, that Avram Avinu, knowing that there was a famine, he was going to have to temporarily leave Eretz Yisrael because of the difficulty, was to not see Eretz Yisrael at fault, was to not see Eretz Yisrael as a bad land, even though temporarily he would have to leave. However, one might even go one step further. Avram Avinu had already moved to Eretz Yisrael, Lech Lecha, with the calling that recognizes this is your benefit when you're leaving Charan, when you're leaving a city where you're having a tremendous effect on all of humanity, where you're affecting the world of God with such ease. But Avram Avinu had to undergo, as Avinu, as our forefather, another type of aliyah as well. If you look at the Ramban in the Shrashim to the Sefer HaMitzvos, in his comments to the Rambam's introduction and principles of what mitzvot should be counted, the Ramban there refers to Avram Avinu's going down to Egypt as Galus Avram, as the exile of Avram. Avram Avinu had to be sent in exile, in temporary exile. And seemingly it wasn't only he had to be sent in temporary exile, but he had to specifically go to the land of Egypt. Why the land of Egypt? Explains Rav Chaim Paltiel, I don't know. Tema, Mara Avram Lalechet Mitzrayim, Yosem Mimashar Rotzos, why go to Egypt? Egypt is the worst land to be. Ve'heviatzum b'sakana, to put yourself in danger. Alo b'shar rotzos lo ayarav kim b'kenan, the only famine in the world was in the land of Israel. It was a test for Avram. Why go to Egypt? The answer may be, is because Avram Avinu had to first go to Galus Mitzrayim. He had to go to the exile in Egypt in order to display for his children what it means to go into exile in Egypt and what it means to come out. The Ramban already explains here the concept of Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim, how the actions of our forefathers are going to be a sign for what will happen to the children. And he explains down to the letter everything that's going to befall the Jewish people when they go into Egypt and when they try to leave. And you want to know what's going to be the worst thing? Leaving Egyptian culture is not easy. Mitzrayim is milashon meitzarim. It's the language of borders and boundaries. People get sucked up. Because what is Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim was a permissive society. Mitzrayim was a society which was decadent. Mitzrayim was a society where those with money would treat the lowly slaves like nothings, and at the same time live it up in extreme wealth. Mitzrayim was a society that stood up economically against the whole system of values that the Jewish nation would have to bring to the land of Israel when they would come back. And the question was, could Avram Avinu go into the land of Egypt and come out unscathed? Could Avram Avinu see the wealth that was of Egypt? The idea that the king can choose the most beautiful woman, whoever it might be, and even kill the husband, if necessary. Would Avram Avinu be able to go to that decadent society and come out unscathed? And Avram Avinu succeeded in the test. Avram Avinu came out not only unscathed, but Avram Avinu came out with a tremendous desire. Our sojourn in Eretz Yisrael, our life in Eretz Yisrael, shall be nothing like the land of Egypt. However, as much as Avram Avinu came out unscathed, Lot, his protege, Lot, the one who Avram Avinu thought was going to take over for him, Lot was a different man. It's actually weird. Lot is seemingly the brother of Sarah. Yet Avram Avinu says that this beautiful woman is not my wife, it's my sister. But the whole description of what goes on in Mitzrayim, we don't know where Lot, the real brother, is. One might even say that Lot is out looking around, and Lot sees wealth. Lot sees prosperity. And Lot says, if I want to move to a land, this is what I want to move to. And therefore the Psukim already describe that when Avram Avinu returns to the land of Israel, Lot comes, but v'lot imo hanegba. Lot is only forced up. He's on the south. Lot is finding it hard to leave Egypt. And therefore it's not difficult to understand how Lot and Avram don't get along. The shepherds of Lot start taking from the land. There's a fight. And the Midrashim describe that what is the basis of the fight? Because the shepherds say, it's our right to take from everybody else. It's our right to graze in the land of others. Because the land was given to Avram, God said, and who is going to be the Yoresh of Avram? Who is going to be the one to the descendant of Avram? It's only one person. It's only going to be able to be Lot. He's the only one. He's the next generation. Avram Avinu doesn't have children. And therefore, Avram Avinu at this point makes a tactical understanding. Lot being with me is not going to succeed. I want to give Lot the opportunity, the chance to actually succeed in his mission, to be the one to continue my message, to be Kori B'Shem Hashem. But Lot, we're going to have to separate now. Lot, where do you want to go? And Lot looks, and where does Lot look? What does he find? Lot looks, and he finds what the Torah describes as a city of stone, Kigan Hashem Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. Lot finds something which looks like the Garden of God, but like the land of Egypt. The Garden of Eden was surrounded by rivers. The Garden of Eden had a plentiful, it was a fertile crescent. It was able to accomplish, people could accomplish without any work. They could go and get all their watering of the field. They could go and involve themselves in agriculture, la'avdol, l'shamra, to serve and protect without any need for extreme physical work. That was one place in Eretz Yisrael that was stone. But that was the topography of Eretz Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt. The land of Egypt had the Nile River, and the Nile River overflowed. It required work on behalf of man. They had to build canals every year. But when the Nile would overflow, the canals would be filled with water, and you would be able to easily irrigate everything. The rest of the land of Israel was very different. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells us this very clearly in Sefer Dvarim, as he's describing to the nation who's about to come into the land of Israel, Lo Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. It's completely different. In Eretz Yisrael, Mitzrayim, you worked hard, and that's why they used tons of slaves, but those slaves were able to water the ground without any need for rainfall. Even in our day and age, Egypt has almost zero rainfall throughout the year. But Eretz Yisrael, which is not far from Egypt, lives by L'matan Shamayim Tishtemayim. It lives by the word of God. It lives by the rain from the heavens. It lives by the heavenly sign. Is God happy with the Jewish people, the inhabitants of the land, or not happy? That was something which Lot was not interested in. Lot chooses to go back to Mitzrayim. Where does Avram Avinu choose to go? To the exact opposite. Avram Avinu chooses to settle in Hebron, to settle in Kiryat Arba hi Hebron Elonei Mamre. And why does Avram do that? So if you look in Parshat Shlach, where it describes the Meragma spies in Eretz Yisrael, there it says, the Chevron Sheva Shanim Nivneta Lefnei Tzoan Mitzrayim. The Chevron was built 7 years before Tzoan Mitzrayim. Explains Rashi over there that Tzoan Mitzrayim was the most fertile place of Mitzrayim. And you would think that Mitzrayim is the most fertile land, it's the ultimate land. And not only that, Tzoan is the best place in Mitzrayim, it's the best place in Egypt. Hebron, on the other hand, is a place for burial. Hebron is a rocky area. It's not a place where a lot grows. Says the Pasuk, Hebron still takes precedence over Mitzrayim. If you're looking at it from a deeper level, and you're looking at it not on what grows on the outside, and what grows, but rather what grows on the inside, so Hebron is much better than Mitzrayim. And that's what Avram Avinu recognized. Avram Avinu goes in one direction, Lot goes in another. Rav Soloveitchik puts this idea very nicely. Rav Soloveitchik describes, with Avram's departure from Egypt, Lot was a new individual. Avram had reared Lot and certainly tried to implant his way of life in him. Egypt was the world's most advanced country, and Avram was a shepherd. Lot was completely overwhelmed by the stupendous Egyptian culture, civilization, technology. He could not resist the influence of the environment. Here is the acid test of a Jew, says Rav Soloveitchik. Can you resist environmental pressures? Can you withstand the impact of a culture that is materially great, but morally and ethically very primitive? In short, says Rav Soloveitchik, Avram lost his disciple while in Egypt. Lot's acquisition of the land involved leaving Avram and what he stood for. When he lifted up his eyes, he saw the pasture lands of stone, unlike Avram, who lifted up his eyes to see Mount Moriah. In a similar vein, Nechama Leibowitz explains that our sages of old did not regard the quarrel between the shepherds referred to here as merely an economic or political one. The Torah devotes space to the quarrel for a deeper reason. Their strife symbolized the opposition between the world of Avram and between one who wished to be a part of it, but to wholeheartedly share the moral principles and outlook of the patriarch, referred to as the one who will command his children and household after him, and then shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Avram Avinu, in this second test, in his second aliyah, where Avram Avinu proves to his children that you could leave the land of Egypt, you could leave spiritual prosperity like I did in Haran, and you could leave economic prosperity and come to Eretz Yisrael. And come to Eretz Yisrael not with the mindset of the dog-eat-dog world that exists in Chutz Laaretz, but the mindset of making a difference, of surviving economically, and maybe even doing well, but doing well with a moral system. A system based on mitzvot atliyot ba'aretz, on agricultural mitzvot, which are based upon giving to the poor in ways you could never imagine outside of the land of Israel. Avram Avinu came back and he saw the beauty. He saw the inner beauty of Hebron. In fact, he wanted to leave Mitzrayim like no one else. But Lot and other proteges of the future might unfortunately be faced and look for a land in Egypt. Even when they come to Israel, look for an Egypt in Israel. But Sdom could not exist. And Sdom would be destroyed soon after, because Sdom was going to be another land like Amabel, like the time of the flood. There was going to be Hamas, there was going to be terrible Midat Sdom, a terrible way of interaction between human beings. That physical prosperity without the need of feeling, the need for rain, the need for godliness in our lives, the need for spirituality, has no place in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, it would be totally destroyed. With this in mind, let's look at the bigger picture. Avram Avinu in this week's parasha recognizes that Lot was not only lost once when he left Egypt, but after Avram Avinu faces another trial and he fights the four kings in order to save Lot, Avram Avinu sees that where does Lot return? Lot returns to the city of Sdom and not to Avram. When the king of Sdom says, Tein li anefesh v'aruchush kach lach, just give us our souls, give us our way of life, we're even willing to give you our money, even though we moved here for money. Avram Avinu says, no thank you, take your money. But Avram Avinu realizes that at least that point, their souls are lost. That Lot, his protege, will be no more. And Avram Avinu, for the first time, expresses a certain level of concern. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had determined to him beforehand and said, Al tira Avram, anochi magen lach schar char be'mo. Don't worry, Avram. And Avram says, Ben beiti yoreshoti. The Pshikta says, that's Lot. How could Lot, my protege, he's been lost in Eretz Yisrael. He was such a good boy in Haran. And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to him and he says, Eretz Yisrael is letovascha ulahanascha. You're right. Jewish history is going to express, it's going to have difficulties. There are going to be four kingdoms. But I'm making with you a covenant. And I'm telling you again that the entire world will benefit from your being in Eretz Yisrael. The entire world will benefit from your taking a strong stance. And you're standing up to the world and saying, we are here to stay. This is our land. We're not only descendants of Shem, but as the Torah begins with Bereshit, and Rav Yitzchak tells us, quoted in Rashi, that this is to tell you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the land to who He wants because He created it. There's only one condition. And the condition is that we continue to connect to the land like a descendant of Avram. We continue to connect to the land like a descendant of our forefather who put everything knowable on the line. Where Avram Avinu showed us that you could leave spiritual prosperity, you could leave chinuch in Chutz Laaretz, to come to Eretz Yisrael, where he showed us that you could leave physical prosperity. You could leave the prosperity of Egypt to come to Eretz Yisrael because we're not really interested long-term in the prosperity of Egypt. We're interested long-term in the prosperity of the Jewish people. And it's here where the Kli Yakar tells us that the description that Hashem says to after Lot departs, and he says, Sana inechore, look around. And the description in the Psukim speaks about Avram Avinu looking at two different things. Explains the Kli Yakar so powerfully. Because there are two connections that the Jewish people have to Eretz Yisrael. There's that physical connection, and there's that spiritual connection. That spiritual connection will always be there for every Jew who's in touch with themselves, no matter what happens. But that physical connection will only remain if the Jewish people continue in the path of Avram. As we say these words, the Jewish people in the land of Israel, and probably the Jewish people in the world, are feeling the terror of an extremely difficult security situation. The Jewish people, many of them, who moved here, who gave up all that prosperity that Chutz La'aretz had to offer. They came here not leaving Ur Kasdim, not leaving a place of difficulty, not leaving a place where their lives were threatened, but leaving the lands of prosperity, whether it be in North America, or whether it be in Europe, or whether it be in other parts of the world, where they left not because they had to, but they left because they wanted to. They left because they followed in that mission of Avram Avinu, of Lech Lecha, to recognize this is L'tovat Chol Anatcha. And it's not only for your own personal benefit, the entire world, V'nivrichu V'cha Kol Mishpachot Adama. If you fulfill your mission properly, the entire world will benefit. You will be giving the greatest gift of mankind. But you have to do it. And Avram Avinu coming to Eretz Yisrael experienced trials daily where it didn't seem to be for his own benefit. Where it seemed that the Aknani Az Ba'aretz, where there were other nations who were trying to take over the land, giving a false claim to their rights to the land. But when Avram Avinu realized, I have nothing to fear. Vayir Hashem Avram, Avram in the city, whether it be in Shechem, or whether it be in Hebron, both cities which have experienced terror over these other places, or whether it be with Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, Malki Tzedek, who is possibly Shem, the king of Shalem, who could only see half of Yerushalayim, he couldn't see the year apart. He couldn't have the connection to that deep spirituality that only Avram Avinu and his descendants were able to have. Avram Avinu recognized more than anything, and recognized through these trials and through these tribulations that this land is ours. And the difficulty which we have is because this land recognition, and us recognizing that it's ours, and my descendants will come back to this land after their own Galus Mitzrayim, and will take over the land, and be able to benefit the whole world. It's because of the spiritual power that there are going to be these trials and tribulations in order to achieve it. If we look at Avraham Avinu, if we look at that picture on the wall of our Alter Alter Zaidi, of our great-great-great-grandfather, and we ask ourselves, Avram, are you proud? Look, we've come back to Eretz Yisrael. Not only a generation which experienced the Holocaust, not only a generation of Jews who were kicked out of Arab countries, who fled from Arab countries, but there are people coming. Not the nefesh asher asu b'charon, but the nefesh b'nefesh of coming out of Eretz Yisrael, coming out of Sari America, coming out of places where everything is waiting for them. Coming out, leaving Beis Avicha, some of them whose parents won't speak to them. And I think Avram is very happy. But he's very sad about one thing. Because Avram Avinu told us, and Bruce Bein Absarim told us, that if we want to keep our hold to the land, it requires two things. It requires walking in the footsteps of Avram. And at the same time, it also requires displaying that this land is our land. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we as a people will recognize that and will act in that way. And by doing so, these trials and tribulations which are trials and tribulations already experienced by our great-grandparents, but trials and tribulations that were not experienced when there were more than 6 million Jews in the land of Israel. That these trials and tribulations will be the beginning of something much, much better. Where all of Hamas will leave the land, be it the Hamas of improper behavior, be it the Hamas of terror groups. And in their place, as the Navi Tzvanya said, the whole world will be a Safa Brura, be one clear language, to be Kori B'Shem Hashem, to call out in the name of God, just like Avram, our forefather. Shabbat Shalom.